Hey, Pancake Pancakes! I'm Laura Matthews, and I'm thrilled to announce that we here at Pancake finally have a sponsor, and it's an amazing one, Audible. And guys, if you go to audibletrial.com/pancake, you'll get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial of Audible. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from, but enough from me, let's hear it from the star of Pancake herself, Laura Matthews. If you're like me, you can hear. I'm pretty good at it, too. Sometimes I can hear things without specifically listening for that sound. It's a gift. Plus, I love hearing voices in my head. And since we've already established that you're like me, you do too. So check out Audible's wide selection of audiobooks to hear tons of different voices in your head. Read amazing books like Girl on the Train or Girl Who Played with Fire. Strangely, I've been on a train, and I've been known to play with fire, so are those books actually about me? Find out. The truth is out there. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/pancake. That's audibletrial.com/pancake for a free audiobook.
Hello, I'm Nancy Cullen. Thanks for tuning in to KSRN News. It has been 2 weeks since the murder of local teacher Edward Cressfield. A vigil was held at Santa Monica High School with students and fellow teachers offering their thoughts and prayers to his wife. Police are working tirelessly to uncover the truth behind this crime, but have yet to name any suspects. Preliminary DNA testing has been almost useless, as all samples have been matched to the whale Cressfield spent almost 3 days inside.
From the kitchen in San Ramon, it's Pancake. One meal told week by week. I'm Laura Matthews. This case has me looking at the world upside down. One minute, it's obvious the whale did it. Then you take that same fact about how the DNA on the Fitbit only matches positively to the whale because that's where he was found and the whale is a totally innocent bystander. This episode has me going to visit both of the whales Edward Cressfield found himself in one point of his life or another. Let me give you a bit of backstory. The whale washed up on our beach late April. The carcass was put in a large, whale-sized pit that was made on the higher part of the beach. It was buried and all seemed well, but irregularly high tides and heavy spring rains washed over the grave and the saltwater seeped into the unpacked sand, slowing and corrupting the natural decomposition, creating a whale-sized pit of rotting, churning flesh sitting in the famous California sun. St. Ramon State Beach used to be a popular spot for families and surfing teens, but ever since the whale washed ashore, it's been more popular with emos, heroin doers, and endurance trainers trying to push themselves to the very limit of human tolerance for olfactory suffering. There's a fire pit by the parking lot where people can burn their clothes. It's a real bummer of a place. There are no sand dunes on this beach, so a wall was built to keep the most potent wind from flowing into town. It's about 10 feet tall, made of cheap aluminum siding. It was constructed about a month ago by the San Ramon Chamber of Commerce after a steep decline in revenue from the seafront shops. The wall helped, but it's still been a rough summer. I brought along my reluctant producer, Lulu. As I exited the car, the stench hit me like an open-handed smack on the ass.
Oh, you know, it's not even really that. Oh.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus. Oh.
The smell was surprisingly bearable after I regained consciousness and donned my bag clip. We headed towards the wall. There are several beach access doors, given the colloquial nickname the Gates of Hell by the locals. The one closest to the pit is named the Devil's Unspecified Orifice, which, depending on your level of imagination, certainly could be the worst way to enter hell. We passed through the orifice and surveyed the scene. I don't know if it's possible to describe this place. The pit was about 15 by 53 feet. For perspective, that's like a 2x3 box of SUVs. But I don't know why you'd be buying Chevy Tahoes in bulk like that unless you run logistics for a drug cartel. The whale itself is nothing more than a stew of bloody, rotting carnage. Bones, blubber, and bile. Rotting flesh in the summer sun, brine flies swarming above en masse. The salt water is red with blood. It's undescribable. We walked over to the police lines. The policeman on duty pointed to where they dragged Edward's body out.
Can you tell me where the head of the whale is? Like, which, what direction is it?
I'm not actually sure. It's all pretty mixed up at this point.
I just want to ask it a few questions.
He was no help. The whale didn't say much either, which, again, could read either way. I talked to my producer about my doubts.
Being here just makes me think. The whale's DNA is the only match they got off the Fitbit, so, like, that's gotta be a strike against it, right?
The whale did not do it, Laura.
First off, how do we know that? You sound so sure. I wish I had your nativity.
It's naivety.
I'm glad you agree. That's big of you. But here's the deal. The whale has no alibi.
It's dead, dude.
I know. How convenient.
I'm glad I went. I learned a lot, not the least of which is that it's possible to vomit while unconscious. But I didn't learn anything that got me closer to finding the killer. I needed a clue, but since Detective Andrews wasn't talking and he seemed to have a monopoly on the evidence, I had to think outside the box on how to make some headway. The one thing I knew I could easily access were Edward's phone records.
Hi, my name is Deborah Crestfield. Edward Crestfield is my husband. I was just wondering if you could send me an email with his call history for the past 6 months. Yeah, the email is pancakepodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you so much. Okay, bye.
I began to prepare for my talk with Deborah Crestfield. I knew this would be the crux of the case. She was one of the few key people I had access to. I prepared for hours, gathering any scrap of information I had. I kept thinking, here I am about to interrogate my first widow. Sarah Koenig would be so proud. The house was nice, although a bit unorganized. I guess if your husband's murdered, you've got other things on your mind than the dusting. I mean, nothing comes to mind, but hey, I don't know. The first thing to catch my eye was this massive Thomas Kincaid painting on the left wall as you enter. Why not just play smooth jazz over the bows just to make sure everyone knows you're crazy? But who is the crazy one? Edward or his wife? Deborah Crestfield was a little wary, but allowed me to ask a few questions and record the conversation.
So you're a kinky kind of girl, huh?
What?
It was based on a hunch. And that hunch was based on a 40 by 60 winterscape featuring multiple baby deer and a child dragging a sled.
The Kincaid. The painting. No, that was actually my husband's.
Is that why you killed him?
What?
After that bit of small talk, it was time to get down to the meat of the interview that I had prepared so meticulously for. I dove in.
So, did he like whales?
Did he like whales?
What a better question have been, did he love them?
I don't think he had any sort of special love for them, no.
Then why did he ask to be buried in one?
He didn't!
Another dead end.
Can you tell me what Edward was like?
Edward, he was a devoted teacher. He loved his students. He was always very involved with his work. I mean, he coached baseball, he directed the fall play, and he single-handedly developed the school choir.
Did he have any personal hobbies?
He was such a joiner. Always so willing to help out at the school, he didn't really spend much time on himself.
He didn't spend much time on you either, did he?
No.
How long did you know he was having an affair?
You... How dare you!
5'10", 180 pounds, naked. Average-sized nose, slightly bent to the left, just how you like it. Brown hair... Brown eyes, bearded in November. He could have had anyone should the arousal have arisen. But how could you not have known that?
Stop!
Admit it. You saw it. You just didn't want to believe it.
You...
I got his call records. His location services were turned off. You knew he was hiding something.
You have his what?
He was sleeping with her.
Who?
You know.
Can I just make it clear that I had no fucking idea he was having an affair? I just sort of wanted to keep the momentum going, so I pressed the issue.
You're right. You're right. I just don't know who it could have been. He was gone so much, it could have been anyone.
Well, not anyone.
I pulled out a scrawled list of all the names I found from the call log.
I essentially just looked through the white pages until I found the phone number, and then slid my finger across the page until I found the name it belonged to. The white pages is a book with a list of names and phone numbers for quite a lot of people. I wouldn't say all of them, though. It's not that big of a book.
Yeah, I know what a phone book is. What are you telling me?
For the record, you didn't know how to spot a cheating husband, so let's let the journalist do her job and keep things on the table. Okay, so I am just going to shoot off these names, and here we go. Alex McNaughton, Nick Allen, Lauren Flynn, Colin Felton, Chuck Fleming, Delia Surge, Frank O'Brien, Kendall Habegger, Shannon Wolf, Derek Westerhoff,
that was Dentist. Wood,
Cole Bordeaux, Rachel Cantone. Wait, who is Dentist?
Kendall Habegger.
Oh, we can cross her off the list, right?
We used this wildly efficient system for all 74 numbers recorded either incoming or outgoing calls on his iPhone. There were actually many more calls received, but they were all from blocked numbers.
Okay, this has been really helpful. I have a good idea of what's going on.
For the record, I had no clue what was going on here. But Deborah might have.
Listen, I don't think you know what my husband's capable of. He's deceitful. He didn't give a shit about me. Anything I wanted was stupid. That shady jackass turned off location services so no one would know where he was, and I played the fool. Too stupid to believe what I was seeing. My husband's a liar.
Was. Your husband was a liar. He's dead. That's what my will question was getting at. Also, just to make sure you didn't do it, where were you the night he disappeared?
Get the fuck out of my house.
So here's what I learned. The whale probably didn't do it. And Edward Crestfield was having an affair, but we don't know who with. One thing that just summed up my conversation with Deborah Crestfield was this little clip.
My husband's a liar!
Oh, wait, that's not it. Hang on, sorry. Here it is. This is the one that sums up our conversation.
The White Pages is a book with a list of names and phone numbers for quite a lot of people. I wouldn't say all of them, though. It's not that big of a book.
Yeah, I know what a phone book is.
Why would Edward Crestfield's extramarital affair be so important to Deborah? What relevance is it to the case? It doesn't bring up any new potential suspects. And why would having an affair lead anyone to murder? Love isn't even real. Pancake is produced by Alex Richwood and myself. This episode is written by me and Alex Richwood. Shauna Stone played the hell out of Deborah Crestfield. Megan Matthews played Nancy Cullen. Rocky Chavez played the cop, did our theme music, and is our sound tech. Oh, Rocky, by the way, you played the cop. Sorry. Yeah, you gotta play the cop. Alex Richwood is our freelance story consultant, mostly talking to me on the phone while waiting for a delayed plane in San Jose Airport, eating chicken strips and quesadillas. Any similarity to historical persons or events is purely coincidental.